Welcome to the NCCF Teaching Podcast. We trust you find this encouraging. New Covenant Christian Fellowship is located at 205 North Pine Street in Woodland Park, Colorado. Our phone number is 719-687-6061. Our Sunday gathering is at 10 a.m. We trust you are blessed as you pore over God's Word with us.
Oh, the seas lift up.
So on Thursday morning, we're distributing free shoes and clothing, and about 150 pairs of shoes just disappeared in about an hour and a half. And people were asking, do I have permission to take a pair of shoes to my friends? And we watched one brother and sister come to kids camp, and the boy wore the shoes for the first hour, and then the girls wore the shoes for the second hour. One of my highlights was on Thursday during the clothing distribution. I look over, and standing next to a minivan was a grandma. She's Northern Arapaho, and she's standing like this. And standing next to her with his hand on her shoulder is Levi, just praying for her. Like, he took the initiative and he did that to bless her and to love her. And so I'm a little tender this morning thinking about it. It's a pretty amazing experience when you open yourself to be a conduit of God's love. It's an amazing experience. It's hard to put into words. It's hard to quantify what happens to your soul. And I use the word soul intentionally. You know, our spirits are united with Christ. We're seated with Christ in heavenly places. Our spirit man united with Christ is a new creation. It's perfect. Absolutely. Fulfilled in every way. And our souls are trying to catch up to what's going on in our spirit. Because for many of us, our souls are still running the show and we have bouts. We sang about the fear. How many of you got your religious sensibilities kind of stirred when you were telling fear to go to hell? I loved it. There's no fear in heaven. Where else is it going to go? It doesn't belong in your life. Yeah, so I'd like for you to take your Bibles and turn to Matthew 5. I'm going to read verse 14, and then we know this verse. This is like a really familiar verse. It's going to springboard me into about a 20-minute sharing that I want to do, and there'll be some stories interwoven in here. Can I just say that of the 17 people that were on this trip, oh, and by the way, it wasn't just youth. So the other fellowship that was down in the Springs, they've got a pretty good idea, and I think we want to open it up this way, maybe next time. Mama Rosa went on the trip as a participant. She's 77 years old. Little Alex, who's 9 years old, went with his single mother who had lost her husband some years ago, and Alex is being raised by a single mom, and Alex is part of a program called Fathers in the Field, and his mentor, John, who's about 62, came along to be with Alex. So we had a wide range from 9 to 77 and us in between, and it was really a pretty amazing experience that I really would like to emulate. And so Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. He's speaking to you right now. You are the light of the world. Go down to 16. We know this passage where it says, you know, a city on a hill can't be hidden, and you don't light a lamp and put it under a bushel. No. You let it shine so that everybody can see it. So let your light shine, verse 16, before men in such a way, this is where the metaphoric language of being light, the metaphoric language of being able to shine before men, it converts into very practical, real life experience You let your light shine in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So the light of the righteous shines brightly, which means that the righteous, you and I, who have been redeemed by Christ Jesus, we have been given works. In fact, this is the bridge that I want to build right now, like this idea that we're to shine bright. And in shining bright, we're actually going to do things. Matthew 13:43 says, "The righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father." You shine bright in the kingdom of your Father. There's a way that things are done in the kingdom of God. There are ways. I suppose that's why the Christian life is referred to as following the way. The way to salvation and forgiveness, the way to assurance that you've been accepted by God, there's a way that that happens. And how is that? That's through faith in Jesus Christ, right? Yeah. There's only one way. And it's not doing good or being good enough. That's not the way. Right? The way of the kingdom is that God's love initiates your adoption. The way of the kingdom is that you receive that gift. Ephesians 2, I'd like for you to turn there. Ephesians 2, verse 8. It's a familiar passage when it comes to evangelism. But for me, I want to dovetail it probably more appropriately in the context to what happens after you do become adopted in. After you do have your sense of identity assured in the grace of Jesus Christ. Now what? Okay, so this is the first part, Ephesians 2:8. "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. It is not from yourselves, it is a gift from God." So that's the way unto salvation. "Not by works, so that no one could boast." Okay, so that's established. Now verse 10, there's a way that we function in life afterwards. "And for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So we follow the ways of Jesus. Jesus not only showed us a life worth, you know, imitating, but we are his workmanship. And he's given us a life compelled by his attitudes, compelled by his motivations, compelled by his love. And so this is what we can absolutely make clear, that we do not work our way into God's favor, right? We know that. However, once we have put our faith in Jesus, we become new creations created in Christ Jesus to do what? Good works. The way of the kingdom is to receive the initiation and the invitation for a new life in Jesus. And then once that experience begins to transform us, we become people who are compelled to do good works, to shine brightly in the kingdom of our Father. So that, what? Why would we do that? Pardon me? So that men will see. And what? Glorify God. Our motive for, okay, first of all, we do not have any other agenda than to be compelled by love. And the byproduct of being compelled by love is people will glorify God. They're not going to glorify you. They might honor you, and that's a good thing. It's good to honor people. But we bring glory to God when we are allowing ourselves to shine bright in the kingdom of our Father. So this is why 1 Timothy 6:18 makes it very clear. Be rich in good works. Be generous. Be ready to share. This past week in that Indian reservation, and just as a point of reference, it's the seventh largest reservation in the United States. It's 2.6 million square miles. And it has two tribes. There's the Northern Arapaho and there's the Shoshone. And the federal government put them two together because they were at odds with each other back in the day, and they figured they'd kill each other off. But there was a chief, a Shoshone chief, who was a man of peace. And he wouldn't allow that to happen. And so they coexist to this day. And so being in that place, initially I was there to serve and to support the program, you know, that was established by this ministry, Foundations for Nations, being kind to children. I mean, okay, so you heard Levi, he was talking it up, you know, you should have seen the pile of kids on top of both Chris and Levi at any given time during any day. It was amazing. And I would say, yes, Levi, you're onto something, that there's a vacuum in their life and they're drawn. But they're not just drawn to anybody. I mean, initially, they were like, and what they were attracted to in you is the light of Christ that's in you. Absolutely. It's not just because you're a funny guy and you give them time and not. It's really the attraction was Jesus in you. And so you were shining bright in the kingdom of your Father. And so knowing, you know, that so many of these people, kids, they come from very dysfunctional families. Violence, substance abuse, physical, emotional, sexual abuse, adjunct poverty. Like he said, no running water, no electricity, many without heat in their homes. Oh, and by the way, that's 400 miles that way. Right? I met 5-year-old Junior. The first morning, and he sat right next to me on the bus. And within about 5 seconds, he's upside down and squirming. And I was like, what's your name? And he told me. And I told him how it was going, you know, how's it going? And told him what we were up to and what my name was and all that. And right after learning his name and asking how things were going, he told me that his mom was with Jesus. I said, I'm so sorry, Junior. Remember, he's 5 years old. I was like, can you tell me the story about your mom going to Jesus, to be with Jesus? And he told me that he was on the phone with her, and she told him that she was going to go in for surgery and that she died while she was in surgery after that phone call. And I said, oh, I'm so sorry. When did your mom go to be with Jesus? And he said, 5 days ago. I met his sister the next day, and she's 10 years old. And Cadence, she had these patches of very short hair on the sides of her head and on the back of her head. She had longer hair, but then these really short, short patches. And when she was, like, at the beginning of the summer camp, because it's a 6-week summer camp, and they meet, and there's probably between 60 and 80 kids that show up for this thing. And it's not just, like, a few hours. It's, like, all day. I mean, we're there with the kids from, 10, 10:30 until about 4. And so it's full on. And when she initially came into this, now this is Junior's 10-year-old sister, when she initially came into the camp, the director, Sarah, asked her some questions like, we want to really take care of you, and we need to know, like, are you dealing with a sickness? Can you tell me why there's patches missing from your hair? And Cadence says, I have a sickness where sometimes I pull my hair out because of stress. So I want you to picture this. This is a family, pretty typical actually. Their needs are very real and seemingly overwhelming. And they're not being raised by their mom and dad. They're actually being raised by their grandma. And grandma has several other grandkids that are living in that house. There might be 9 kids living in a house. And so, so here's what I want you to do. I want to ask you to imagine Junior. You can close your eyes if you want. And maybe you can think about this little boy. He's missing all of his front teeth. And he's got this really short cropped hair. And he's squirmy and really cute smile. And you realize his mom has died 5 days ago. And you kind of realize that he's a little nonchalant about that. Obviously, it's affecting him. I mean, he's telling me about this. And yet, it just seemed like so matter of fact. Like, no tears, no quivering of the lip or anything like that. And you realize it's probably because he doesn't have a deep attachment to his mom. He's being raised by his grandmother. Now I want you to connect, let your heart connect with Cadence. And as a 10-year-old girl, you know, what she might be going through that would cause her such stress. And your heart goes out to them. And you can feel it now, right? I mean, your heart is softening towards these kids. Now I want you to think about their parents. Think about the parent who is an alcoholic or on meth, who doesn't care for these children. I mean, let's be honest. Did your heart harden just a little bit towards them? One takeaway from this past week is that I am not to judge who deserves the extravagant love and who deserves simply to be tolerated. Every single person, you, your family, those kids, their parents, their grandparents, every single human being is the intended target of God's mercy and grace. So the truth of the matter is, maybe 15 years ago, okay, that's not very long ago. Maybe 15 years ago, today's parents were yesterday's 5-year-old junior. Maybe 15 years ago, today's parent was 10-year-old Cadence, pulling out her hair at night, trying to rock herself to sleep. The truth of the matter is the trauma that these parents experienced as kids and even as adults, it metabolizes into an addiction, into dysfunctional behavior as an attempt to fill the void and numb the pain. To bring honor to people, to bring dignity back to the child when they're talking about their mother and they have to make up a story about some elaborate trip that their mother's on over the last 2 years, when their mother may not even be alive or whatever is happening in that mother's life. The shame just creates a scenario that's more acceptable. So to bring honor, I had to remember that every parent is doing the absolute best that they can. Although for many, their best is actually harmful. But their best, they have no other resource to draw from. I did meet a few intact families where a father, a mother, and their 5 children are together. I met a few. And Trina and Darren have 5 children, and 2 years ago they gave their lives to Jesus through relationship that they had established with Sarah and Jason, who run this ministry. Their life was marked by violence. The reason why they were separated when Sarah and Jason met them, and met Darren first and then Trina, was because Darren would repeatedly beat her, knock her out. They were both on meth and alcoholics, and they were separated, like I said. So Trina meets these folks and is really like, the walls are really up. And she like declares over them, I'm never going to believe your God, that kind of stuff. And so here it is, these 2 years later, and I asked her to tell me the story. And so Sarah was able to lead Trina to the Lord and disciple her and counsel her and her husband. And now they're back together and they got remarried and their whole family is baptized and they're working with this ministry and they're serving and they're like a solid family. And you have to like marvel at the incredible miracle that that is. You have to marvel at that. You have to marvel at what the love of Jesus, when people choose to shine bright and do good works. You know what the good work was? Even though Trina's like, I'll never believe you're God. I don't know. Don't hug me. I don't know even why you're here. And yet, Sarah and Jason were committed to putting a roof on their house because their roof was leaking profusely. And they put a roof on their house. They put a roof on their house. 2 years later, they're living this life that I'm describing to you. What? How incredible that the catalyst for a miraculous transformation in an entire family is a practical act of service. How incredible that these people are raising their hand in worship, glorifying God on a weekly basis as they're a pillar in this community. Now, you need to understand that this fellowship that they have is chock full of young believers like this. And so the work of discipleship and the work of counsel and the work of prayer ministry and the work of intervention continues and it continues and it continues for all of us, really, right? And so we're all in this journey and this process of being transformed into the image of Jesus more fully as our souls try to catch up to what's happened in our spirit. So the fact remains that there are 1,000 Trinas. I want to take a minute to talk about being led by the Holy Spirit in your good works. Because one of the challenges that Sarah and Jason have is how to say no. Where to go? I mean, how to just work through the logistics of, you know, their resources and so forth. And it requires us to be led by the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to try to bring it home. There's good works for you and I to do in this city. Absolutely. There's good work for us to do in our homes, like our neighborhoods, our families, our extended families. There are good works that God has predestined for us to do. So since Ephesians is true, you were created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for you to do. So this prepared in advance dynamic is really important, because if you're going to be led by the Holy Spirit, then you have to trust that the Holy Spirit knows where He's taking you. He thought this out already. There's a plan. So it's revealed to us through a call, through a vision, through real-time direction by the Holy Spirit. You also have to know that Philippians 2:13 is true, that God is at work within you to both will and to do His good pleasure. So again, that's Philippians 2:13. So it is God who is at work within you to enable you to do good works. So again, it's not reliant on soul energy. It's a relationship between you and the living God who is in you by His Holy Spirit, and He's the one who enables you. He's the one who leads you. The word work, the Hebrew word work, ergon, which basically means, okay, get this, a deed or an action that carries out and completes an inner desire. So it's an action that carries out and completes an inner desire. So there's a spark that happens here first. And then there's an imagination, we can call that a vision, that starts to form up that we can see how this might actually come to life in the real world. And so this work that God has given for us to do, when it is born of the Spirit, when we partner with it and begin to dream with God, and we put our hands to it, and we become the literal hands that and feet and mouths and presence as a church that begins to bring to life what was sparked here, then actually that's a good work. So imagine that the Holy Spirit gives you an inner desire, then a picture to bring that desire to life, and then the ability and the energy to actually carry that out. Guess what? That's normal Christian living. That's you shining bright in the kingdom of your Father. So the Holy Spirit, He leads you and then He equips you to do these good works. It wasn't until Thursday that I began to experience my own shine. It's not to, you know, diminish anything that happened previous to Thursday. Previous to Thursday, I was supporting, I was helping, I was kind to the children, I was there, crowd control, getting people on the bus. That's good work. And so it started with Daniel. And I had met Daniel Sunday night, so the whole week I had seen him throughout. And Daniel's about a 24-year-old guy. He's married to a 22-year-old girl. And he's really quiet, but we began to talk. And it just so happens, you guys remember the story of me going into the Wind River Mountains over the last 4 years. I've been going up there. And I just asked him, have you ever been to the mountains, the Wind River Mountains? And it just started rolling. He just started talking about his adventure that he had experienced up there. And that was our open door, and I just began to communicate, like just this fascination with beauty and the wilderness and all that kind of stuff. So we kind of had this little thing going. So now Thursday, he's sitting in his van with the AC on, playing his daughter's iPad game, waiting for his wife to get the shoes. And I just walked up to the van because I felt the Holy Spirit tell me, I want you to start with him. So I went up to the van. Zzz. Hey, Daniel, what's up? And I started talking to him. And then all of a sudden, I just asked him, like, hey, is there anything that I can pray for you about? I want you to practice saying that right now. Is there anything I can pray for you about? Is there anything I can pray for you about? Listen, that's all you got to say. I only saw one person out of probably 20 people that came in that we asked, is there anything that we can pray for you about, that said no. Okay, two. He was like, yeah. And he said, hold on. He turns his radio off, stops his game, puts his game down, and goes like this. And just puts his hands out like, and I said, can I put my hand on your shoulder? And he said, yes. And I put my hand on his shoulder, and the Lord began to give me picture after picture, and I began to convey that to him, and I began to bless his spiritual ears to hear and the eyes of his heart to see. And I was just affirming the fact that he was a spiritual man, and that Jesus wanted to reveal himself to him, and that, you know, it just went on. And then, like, wow, who's next? Because I got to tell you something. When it's a good work and it's initiated by the Holy Spirit, remember, in the kingdom, there's a way that things work. And the way that this works is Daniel is blessed. I'm blessed. And God is glorified. So I wanted to encourage you with that, because, you know, there's times when I would ask Jesus, you know, now I've got this zeal going on. I'm like, that was fun. Who's next? Is he next? And I felt the Holy Spirit honestly say, nope, he's not yours. Then it was like this treasure hunt. Well, then who? And all of a sudden the Lord began to bring people to me. And it was their name that began to spark. I didn't have a word for them initially, but when they told me their name, it just started to roll. I met a girl named Eternity. I met a man named Bethel. I was like, do you know what your name means? He's like, no. Open heaven. angels ascending and descending. This is a place. This, you're a person. And I began, I mean, you got to know that was fun, right? And so, so if I had neglected the nudge, because let's be honest, there's a reason why we don't do that often. I can tell you for myself, I go into self-preservation mode often when I feel depleted, when I feel, and I'm talking about real life here in Woodland Park with family and friends and moving through the neighborhood and at the businesses, and you might hear the Holy Spirit nudge you. So again, we're learning how to be led by the Holy Spirit to do good works. If I neglect that nudge because I'm trying to self-preserve, then I walk away more depleted, honestly. For me to enter into the river of life that is flowing to another person and I become that conduit, you need to know that when I walk away from that encounter, I have less need to self-preserve. Because the life of Jesus has just fortified me in ways that I could never have fortified myself. Can we hear this? So my encouragement is do good works. Honor everyone. Don't let your heart harden because you would place some form of judgment about what they deserve or don't deserve. If they say no, thank you, then you bless them and walk off. You do the part that you are led to do. They're people of free will. We are all people of free will. They can choose to receive it or not. That does not diminish you, does not deplete who you are and your relationship with God. Don't let it discourage you. Might actually get persecuted for this. But find fellowship in that. So again, we're allowing your light to shine among men. They're blessed, you're blessed, God is glorified, everybody wins. And that's a good way to live, right? So why don't we stand together and I'm going to pray for us. Jesus, thank you so much for the plans that you have for us. They're plans to prosper us and to not harm us, to give us hope and a future. And in the midst of all of that, you have plans for us to do good works. Because you love it when your kids shine bright in your kingdom. We don't want to hide the light that you've given us under a bushel. We want to shine bright in the kingdom of our Father. And Lord, thank you for the life that comes from that. We do this with no other agenda than to love and to bless others, to be led by your Holy Spirit. And we are recipients of your grace, your replenishment, your abundant life when we walk in step with you. So thank you for the way. Thank you for the way of the kingdom. Thank you for your way. Thank you for an example like Sarah and Jason, who looked beyond Trina and Darren's circumstances, who looked beyond their crisis, who looked beyond the obvious in the seen world and began to see with their spiritual eyes the things that are of eternity, and began to press into that with vision and with your strength. And we just want to pray now for Trina and for Darren and their 5 children. We want to pray for that fellowship of believers. We want to pray for that work, that you would expand it, that it would grow. Lord, we want to pray for the seeds that were sown in the lives of these children. We want to pray, God, for the transformative words that you gave to adults alike. And we want to ask, God, that you would bring a fruit, a harvest. Lord, that you would bring many, many to the saving knowledge of your Son, Jesus, through this work. And I pray, God, that you would protect that ministry and that you would protect these people, Lord God, from the evil one who wants to destroy them, who is seeking to devour them. And I ask, God, that your grace and your capacity to preserve and protect would just shield them, Lord, as they walk in step with you. And I thank you that you prepare a table before them in the presence of their enemies. And I thank you, God, that you have led them into this place. And I want to thank you for the privilege of walking alongside them for this week. And I thank you, God, for activating in my heart, and I believe in many now today, activating in us just this desire to love as you love, Jesus, and to serve as you serve, and to do works, God, that bring glory to your name. And we just want to say yes to that. Can you just make that personal now, Lord? We just want to say yes to that. Lord, we just want to ask you, give us an opportunity this week. Help us to walk in courage, Lord. And when we feel tempted to dismiss the nudge, maybe because of fear, we would allow ourselves to be a little indignant and tell that fear to go to hell, because there's no place for it in our lives. And for us to walk in courage, and for us to walk in step with you, Jesus, because you have rendered us free from the power of hell, from the power of sin and darkness, and we are in your light. And we receive you now fresh, a new Holy Spirit, come, pour yourself out into our lives, fresh and new, like a river that flows from the throne of God into us and through us out to others. This is the river that we live in. This is our natural habitat. In Jesus' name I pray this. Amen. Amen.
It's our joy to offer these podcasts. We sure hope you enjoyed it. If you have any questions, any prayer requests, if you're curious about ways that you can more deeply be involved with this community, please drop us a line at nccfcolorado@me.com or like our Facebook page. Thank you and God bless.